It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this prayer meeting, Wednesday, the 9th day of August, 2023. This is the Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round. And whatever time it happens to be when you're listening to the podcast, wherever you are on this sweet little blue-green marble hurtling helically through the universe. And hi to all the listeners, the multi-limbed, amorphous blob of listeners on Norblap 9. You're valid. We see you. Let's see, in Norblapian, that's... That's the last of the Norblapian for this evening. So, where the hell did that come from, Robin? You don't want to know. So at any rate, yes, it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and if you should happen to pop into the chat room and you are listening live, well, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That would be Theo and Squeaky and Irish Dave. Hey, y'all. And capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, not to mention Picklesmith, Roger in Oregon, who noted at least I made it in time for the show to start. Thursday will be a different matter. I will be helping teach a class on pickles and fermentation. Zimmergy, y'all! Well, I mean, that's the study of yeast, but fermentation, probably no yeast involved. But that sounds positively delightful. And before we get any further into the program, just an unpaid product recommendation. There is a that brand of kraut that I've mentioned before, and we all know I'm a little kraut fiend. Saverne, S-A-V-E-R-N-E, out of Old Wisconsin. Lo and behold, they have decided. Because I've decided I love it, I will probably never see it again. At least not in any brick-and-mortar store around me. At one point, somebody screwed up and ordered in a case of Saverne brand, get this, kimchi-flavored sauerkraut. Oh, my great heavenly days. It is the perfect accompaniment to for a classic sauerkraut dog. And spoke to my notion of, hey, why don't I make a kimchi dog? Well, I did. And it was, something special. Just a real good Dijon mustard and that Saverne kimchi-flavored kraut. Hoo-wee! Uncle Jed. So, that's neither here nor there. Just just mentioning. Just saying, not saying. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different, so consequently we say thank you to our friends here on the ninth day of the month via PayPal. Thank you so very much to James. Thank you, James. And thank you to Ralphs. And thank you to Mary Bell. And thank you to Khalil. Thank you as well to Cecilia. Thank you all so very kindly for being part of the program. Thank you yesterday. And Kat, provided the $50 challenge yesterday for Ohioans not going to put up with no Republican bullshit. And guess what? Kat was gloriously right. And we'll be talking about that later in the program. I'm so proud of those folks west of West Virginia's river. Yes, got it right. Let me hold back on that for a minute, though. No, Ralphs, I just took a flyer on one jar, and now I wish I had bought the whole case. Because, golly, is it good. I have not seen it since. They got the beer kraut, the caraway seed kraut, then this stuff, and well now, this is the best yet. Yeah, but at any rate, thank you, all of our ninth day of the month subscribers via PayPal. If you'd like to be a PayPal subscriber, there was something interesting today at the Rippy Mart. The guy in front of me at the Rippy Mart, I guess he had a dollar's worth of freebie left, something or another. And the clerk said, well, find yourself something else for a dollar. And he looked along the row down there, all the chewing gum and everything, and there wasn't anything that was a dollar. It was all $1.89, $1.59. There wasn't anything for a dollar. I used to say that, a $10 a month subscription here would set you back the price of something slightly less than one stick of Wrigley's gum per hour of programming. That'd be a stick and a half per show, per episode. And apparently that isn't even something that's a thing anymore. Because Merca. So this is just about the most inexpensive podcasting experience that exists. Because not only do you not have to put up with any Buy Gold Now ads or the just asking questions of Pink Shrek. It's practically free. It is free. It's free for everybody. Anybody who wants to listen can listen for free. But those who want to perpetuate the program and make sure that it stays on the air and help us pay the bills, well, less than 50 cents per hour of programming is, wow. That's what 10, so anyway, that being the case. Thank you, one and all. So, Robin, where does the fundraising goal stand? Well, it is $1,330. So today through Friday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, Friday are funded, and $130 worth of Thursday remains to be filled in. Hopefully, folks will go to the PayPal interface at headon.live and we'll knock some of that down, because bills are coming. I wanted to get started by talking about the Ohio referendum yesterday, but there's a bit of breaking news. And I don't have the particulars much beyond this because of paywalls. But there is one less person shuffling along on this mortal coil in the state of Utah. today. In fact, a man in Utah has, in fact, shuffled off this mortal coil. Why would I mention that? Well, he wasn't just some guy who died in, no. And this will occasion, there's a couple of stories that will occasion howls of indignant fury. The FBI shot and killed a maggot in Provo, Utah. And it was only hours before President Biden was going to speak in Salt Lake City. It's a New York Times. Stephen New York, a man was shot dead in an encounter with FBI agents in Provo, Utah. The New York Times stating the man who was killed was not named, but court records show that a Provo man was facing charges for making death threats against President Biden and, wait for it, Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan District Attorney. Hey, look, y'all. It's some stochastic terrorism. It works. Without a doubt, it works. When Nitwit Nero calls out his, or dog whistles his shock troops, things happen. Let me see if I can make this pop here. I love how the New York Times says, in an encounter with the FBI, like it's some sort of online date gone wrong. Okay. They were trying to arrest the dude, the maggot. Let's be clear here. This happened today. FBI agents were trying to serve a search warrant. Now, NBC News is identifying the maggot. The New York Times did not. He is Craig DeLeuw, DeLeuw Robertson. On Monday, with news of President Biden going to Salt Lake City, Craig, we'll call him Craig, said, "Well, time for me to get my camouflage and sniper rifle out." And in talking about Alvin Bragg, he said he's a political hack linked to George Soros, and said he was going to whack him in a parking garage. That language. Why, I could swear I've heard things like political hack funded by George Soros. Oh, I have. Practically every day you turn on White Wing Straight Radio, or Hate Radio. Maybe Straight, too. I don't know. And the thing is here, if Judge Chutkan does not impose a protective order in Washington, D.C., we can expect a wave of this shit. Well, as Matt in San Francisco puts it, Utah man, we all get one life, one shot to end it for Trump. That's got to be one of the saddest things I've heard today. But the thing is, Craig DeLue Robertson sat there and day in and day out absorbing, I don't know, Fox News, news muck, Onan the network that spills its news upon the ground. His radio was, I'm sure, tuned to radio stations that send out a constant toxic spew of misinformation, disinformation, lies, not even half-truths, and hate intended to infect the minds of Americans. The incident began when special agents tried to serve an arrest and search warrant at a residence. The subject is deceased, the FBI said. The Secret Service, in turn, responded, saying, "The Secret Service is aware of the FBI investigation involving an individual in Utah who has exhibited threats toward a protectee. We always remain in close coordination with our law enforcement partners. This is an FBI-led effort, and we would refer any related questions to the FBI." Yeah, Matt, it is sad. All the guy had to do was step back from the brink, turn away from the darkness. Instead, he leaned into it. Nothing here indicating the age of Craig DeLue Robertson. It's just so, so horribly sad. But this is Merca. And this is who and what we are. And you know what? The blood... No one will say it. Okay. Joe, Mika, if y'all want to say this in the morning, it's okay by me. This man's blood is not on the hands of the FBI. This man's blood is on the hands of Sean Hannity, Frau Ingram, Charlie Kirk, any of those freaks and goons at Newsmuck. And for all I know, down in the nether regions of perdition, fat dead Rush Limbaugh may be getting an extra ration of pineapples out of it. Dear God. The Manchurian candidate, Kim, in New York City, says, "Hi, Robin." "Hi, Kim. So how long until the Trumpers, QAnons, Fox News et al. Declare that Utah man was one, a Manchurian candidate, a tool, dupe, brainwashed by Biden's FBI and CIA, or two, an FBI or CIA agent posing as a Utah man taking one for the Biden team?" Kim, I will add three, not really dead, because it was all a false flag. I think the false flag watch is probably on for Alex Jones. And I would not take the over, whatever it is, I would not take the over on that. In fact, Kim, you may be a little bit late to the party, as am I. It may not even be a how long till situation, but how long since. Shuffled off this mortal coil. His life was a tale told by an idiot. full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Which is also probably illegal to read in Florida now. Or, says Steve in New York, and you know what, I'm gonna give you a bit, yeah, there's some statistical relevance here. Or, he's a martyr in the style of Ashley Babbitt. Craig DeLue Robertson, patriot. And you know what? I don't care how many Craig DeLue Robertsons come out of the woodwork. None of them are a good reason not to prosecute an orange monstrosity who tried to overturn the government of the United States of America, period. But God. No. So, yeah, but I actually wanted to begin the program with the happy news out of Ohio. Aw, darn it. George out in Coarse Gold letting us know. Oh, we lost another music icon, R.I.P. Robbie Robertson. And you put the load right on me. No singing. Darn. Take a load off, Annie. Take a load for free. Take a load off, Annie. And you put the load right on me. A lot of happy hours zooming down the highway with the band's greatest hits playing on a cassette, later on perhaps a CD. Well, darn, thank you for letting us know, George. Thank you. And thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs has put a $25 challenge on the table for in memory of Robbie Robertson. Robbie Robertson was 80 years old. I think it's hard for some of us to fathom that. Robertson passed away today in Los Angeles after a long illness. A statement from his publicist and manager, Jared Levine, said, Robbie was surrounded by his family at the time of his death, including his wife, Janet, his ex-wife, Dominique, her partner, Nicholas, and his children, Alexandra, Sebastian, Delphine, and Delphine's partner, Kenny. He's also survived by his grandchildren, Angelica, Donovan, Dominic, Gabriel, and Serafina. He recently completed his 14th film music project with frequent collaborator Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon. And I'm eager to see that film. It's going to be a hard watch. It's about a slaughter of indigenous people, I think Osage people in Oklahoma, when it turned out that there was oil under their land. But I've read good things about children of the, or killers of the Flower Moon. Thank you, Ralphs. Hopefully somebody will jump in and match that $25. And we've got, and that'll get us down to $12.80. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you again. So, like I said, the triumph in Ohio voters yesterday and since July, and the early voting and vote by mail numbers were something like 700,000 votes. One quarter of the population of Ohio voted yesterday. And by some 57%, by a 57% margin, they refused to allow Republicans to create minority rule in the state of Ohio. So that now, when a measure to enshrine a woman's right to abortion in the Ohio Constitution comes up on the ballot in November, well, it'll only require 50% plus one. And hopefully, like voters in Kansas a year ago, I think it was August the 2nd a year ago, they will issue a resounding no to the maggot party, the party of misogyny, the party of hatred. And then we will watch Ohio not go completely to pieces, because the Republicans can't, they have nothing resembling a nuanced message. And they've been screaming that protecting a woman's right to choose will somehow cause big government to come in and take away your pumpkin ball guns. But as much or more than anything else, the thing that I observed out of this, and which I find fascinating, actually goes back to the 2022 election here in West Virginia. I'll explain how. Back in 2022, there were three constitutional amendments backed by the Republican Party on the ballot here. And they were typically noxious maggot constitutional measures relating to things like property taxes. Yeah, I forget what all, but there were three. And Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice said, now, in no way, shape, nor fashion should any of y'all vote no on any of these y'all amendments. And the leadership of the maggot party in the legislature and county commissions all barked and grunted and hooted and bleated and groaned and meowed in favor of those constitutional amendments. But the problem was, the constitutional amendments themselves did not have an R or a D by them. They merely had descriptions of what the amendments would do. And people who went to the polls read them and went, no fucking way! This is dumb! When my theory is, if there had been some way to put an R by them, they would have went, well, Jesus wants me to do this, and voted yes. And it's very clear that the yes position was backed by Republicans yesterday in Ohio. The no position was backed by groups that are typically aligned with Democrats, outfits like the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, and the like. The mayor of Cleveland. But neither yes nor no had an R nor a D by them. And just like those three West Virginia amendments last November, this measure went down in flames to resounding defeat. According to, thank you, Steve in New York. according to NPR, the roughly 2.8 million votes cast in Ohio dwarfed the 1.66 million ballots counted in the state's 2022 primary elections, in which races for governor, the U.S. Senate, and the U.S. House were up for grabs. That is a 73.4% increase over 2022. Which brings me to my thesis statement. If you take the R's and the D's away from things, most of America, outside of those states that whose voters routinely pick their teeth with their toenail clippings, you know, your Alabamas, your Mississippis, your Floridas, your South Carolinas, your Kentuckys and Tennesseans and Arkansans, etc. I'm not going to name the whole damn Confederacy. But outside of those states, if you don't put an R or a D next to it, Americans generally just don't really like Republicans very much. And the demographics behind the Republican so-called majority in the House of Representatives bear this out, too. Because a vastly higher number of actual human beings voted for Democrats in 2022 in House races than voted for Republicans. And we're not even going to start on the Senate of the United States. And no. And as Steve noting, we win every time on issues. Pretty much. But the fact that you have to have an R or a D beside something to make people hate themselves enough to vote for the R position tells us a lot about our polarized country. We're voting for our favorite teams, I guess. It's the, what's a great rivalry? It's the Red Sox and the Yankees. But when you take away the team names and you just look at the ideas, it changes the outcome dramatically. I don't know if there's something in there for the political chattering pundit class, or more importantly, I don't want to be one of these real bad. You don't have to do much work and you get a lot of money. More importantly, for the political consulting class. I mean, can you just be a political consultant? I remember the 90s and the early aughts when there were all these guys running around being political consultants, and all they were paid losers. Most of them back then were Democrats. But it's something to ponder and something to talk about if any of you care to. This country may be... We may actually be a better country than we think we are. The maggots get a lot of press because they yowl and bark and grunt and squeal and hoot a lot louder. But when it comes right down to it, a vast majority of Americans want women not to die of preventable problems related to pregnancies that go bad. Most of America thinks that a decision whether to carry a baby to term is a decision that needs to be left up to the mother-to-be and her doctor. But the thing is, it's all that the Republicans have. And we have talked about this for years. It is all that they have. If they don't have the abortion issue, they could... if they hadn't previously, let's say in Ohio, for example, if they hadn't weaponized a certain segment of the electorate with the precious little fetuses argument, they might not have gotten 20% of the vote. And they will not and cannot learn. It isn't an effort. It's not a coincidence that as attitudes toward women's reproductive care have proven to be not a winner for the GOP, they've had to find something to get the to get their hardcores out from behind the baseboards and scurrying across the kitchen floor to get to the voting booths to cast their ballots. Why do you think the war on the LGBTQ community exists otherwise? Because, well, you know, okay, so maybe we've lost them on murdering babies, but we can get them back with hating on the queers. But the last election cycle showed that that wasn't even a winner. If I was, and God, this is a nauseating thought, if I was a big thinker in Republican politics, I'd be water bowel scared at what could potentially be coming at me. Because what happened in Ohio yesterday portends the possibility that the bellwether state for Republican presidents, you know, what's the old saw, the ancient wisdom, that no one can be elected president in the United States from the Republican Party without winning Ohio? Well, if these attitudes hold, the likelihood of Ohio going for a Republican presidential candidate seemed to be corkscrewing ever groundward. Now, granted, they sent Jerk Deluxe Vance, the fake hillbilly, to the Senate of the United States, where he, who has another one of those Ivy League educations, is pandering for all he's worth to the, well, to the base out there picking their teeth with their toenail clippings. But that may be a high watermark. And rest assured, Democrats in Ohio will hammer the Republican Party from now until November 2024 with, look, what they did, trying to take away a woman's right to choose, trying to monkey up the Constitution. That's a phrase we get from Ron DeSantis. Well, they're just going to keep at it. So, sure, you don't want to send somebody to the White House, God knows, or the Senate, because, of course, Sherrod Brown is up for re-election in 24. You don't want to send somebody there who's going to do the same noxious things in Washington that this gang tried to do in state. I find the idea absolutely fascinating. Ralph says, so if there can be nonpartisan elections, will that make a difference? I think maybe ranked choice voting might, although that's no guarantee. But I don't know how you could have a nonpartisan election insofar as you have to select a party nominee. I don't think the parties would go for that. I mean, It's one thing to have nonpartisan school board elections. Look how those turn out. But I think, moreover, Ralphs, it speaks to the idea that we need to talk about issues more. And in the case of a woman's right to choose, we finally found one that speaks to people's hearts, a la the way that the Republican Party has operated for years. Because what America has found out is that since our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties handed down the Dobbs decision in 2022, it has had horrifying consequences, not just for women who wanted an abortion, but for women who didn't. Women who had the misfortune to have a pregnancy go bad and not be able to do anything about it. Right now, Ohio's abortion ban is on hold as a result of an injunction put in place by the court system. But that is anything but a remedy. And the people of Ohio are going to have to speak loudly and plainly, and thanks to the fact that they sent the billionaire from the Uline Corporation packing back to Illinois or wherever he's from. I mean, wouldn't it be fun to just poke a finger in that fucker's eye? And yeah, no, you're never going to miss $4 million or anything, but you gotta feel a little stupid, don't you? Yeah, you do. 'Cause you are. But Ohioans will have to do it again in November. And it would be great if they would show up in greater numbers and, you know, by 60 or dare to dream, 70% say, no, maggots, no. We don't want women dying in hospital parking lots so that y'all can feel better about your religious fetishes. Fuck you and your sincerely held religious beliefs. By the way, Tom in sunny San Rafael says, not a top-line news item for today, but hey, it's the first anniversary of the Mara Lardass search and seizure day. Happy search and seizure day, Tom. Is Jack Smith just punking Nitwit Nero at this point? Because there's another story that hit the wires today, you know, on the first anniversary of MAGA Lardass search and seizure day. A federal appeals court in Washington, D.C. issued a decision that affirmed the trial court's decision holding the company formerly known as Twitter, which I now refer to as Scum, in contempt of court and dinging Scum some $350,000, yeah, chump change for Leon Scum, because they didn't immediately comply with a search warrant this past January. Because this past January, Jack Smith's prosecution team, and by the way, this is one of those moments where you go, ah, turns out things were going on after all. Why isn't the DOJ moving faster? Well, they were moving, they just didn't tell us. Because again, back in January, the DOJ served a search warrant on Nitwit Nero's Twitter account. And the search warrant was with the specificity required by the Constitution for evidence of criminal offenses as published in his Twitter feed. So that search warrant went public today on the first anniversary of MAGA lardass search and seizure day. Well played, Jack Smith. Well played. Because Twitter got all pissy because a non-disclosure order accompanied the search warrant that banned them from getting on the phone and telling Nitwit Nero that the search warrant had been executed. And the pettifoggers for the company formerly known as Twitter, now known as Scum, claimed the non-disclosure order violated the company's First Amendment right to communicate with its subscriber, former President Trump, and it would preclude the former president from asserting executive privilege to shield communications made using his Twitter account. Well, his Twitter account was not protected by executive privilege. Because Jack Smith didn't go after the White House account or the POTUS account. He wanted to know what was going on the Donald J. Trump Twitter account. In the appellate court ruling, the judges said, based on ex parte affidavits, the district court found probable cause to search the Twitter account for evidence of criminal offenses. Moreover, the district court found that there were reasonable grounds to believe that disclosing the warrant to former President Trump would seriously jeopardize the ongoing investigation by giving him an opportunity to destroy evidence. No, really? Change patterns of behavior or notify Confederates. I do love the use of the word Confederates in this context. The district court judge issuing the warrant, Judge Beryl Howell, said that the court were to adopt the Twitter position, tech companies would then be incentivized to delay execution of any warrant while they litigated challenges based on slivers of knowledge of an investigation scope. And I apologize for having misgendered Judge Howell. And so, having reached those conclusions, Judge Howell found Twitter in contempt and sanctioned the company, because before she did any of that, she said, hey, I'm going to give you extra time. You've got till February 7th. This was back in January. And even then, Twitter didn't show up with the documents by February 7th, and we're 3 days late. Now, we're told in the reporting on this that Nitwit Nero found out about this in June. Huh. June, July, August. Almost 2 months ago. So, naturally, Julius Geezer jumped on his rickety, rattle-trap, falling-apart social media site, Tripe Social, and triped out, I just found out that crooked Joe Biden's DOJ secretly attacked my Twitter account, making it a point not to let me know about this major hit on my civil rights. Again, the government told Trump about the warrant in June. But he couldn't say anything until it went public. He was a little scared. Yes. Curiously, the accompanying poll question says, do you think the special counsel's office overstepped its authority in issuing this search warrant? 59% of the readers of this NBC News story said, no, don't think so. 39%, roughly the same number as the maggot noise machine, said,
yeah, they did that.
Hashtag STS. We really do need to start using that. Now, what we don't know is what sort of information may have been gleaned from the search. Although the fact of the matter is, in the indictment that came out last week, there were no small number of references to Nitwit Nero's tweets. For instance, when he called on the maggot faithful to come to D.C., or when he tweeted out that Mike Pence should reject the certified electoral college votes. Mary Garland's number one fan, that would be Stephen New York. All these duty heads who think he went too slow should know this. D.A. Willis said in a recent article that her investigation took over 2 years. Yes, if you do the math, that goes back to early to midsummer 2021. Was Fonnie Willis dragging her feet too? I think not. On a happy note, I'm so skeptical of this and almost afraid to write it, but Trump is seriously panicking. I suspect he's not sleeping and is probably doped up on all kinds of speed, which I think explains the bloat. The bloat is afloat. They probably can't keep up with enough Adderall. Steve continues, oh, great masteress Pubanus. Think about this. Before the overturning of Roe, any abortion-related referendum brought them out to the polls in droves. The dog caught the car. They're moving on to LGBTQ plus folks, especially trans folks. The only thing is that even the GOP faithful, except for a group, has already drunk the Flavor-Aid. Nice call. It was Flavor-Aid. Just don't find the demonization of the LGBTQ plus folks. Here's what I think the main difference is. People actually have LGBTQ plus friends and family, and even like and love them. People look at the LGBTQ plus issue and think, yeah, but I like Uncle Joe's partner, Jim, or those women next door come out to all the Little League games and root on the team, and their boy's a great pitcher and can really mow them down. I suspect that less people know someone who has needed abortion-related health care. Because there's more shame, Steve, which must end. In some weird way, Steve says, it's less personal, so they could frame it as killing babies. It was specific in the abstract. With abortion, it strikes me that they've lost the killing babies meme. It's now about the government getting all up in women's uteruses. And to paraphrase LBJ, this far, but no further. Yeah, and they've also said that because there's been good coverage, they've also learned what the pernicious effects of what our most puissant supreme dread sovereign Catholic majesties did. Women waiting in the parking lot to bleed out sufficiently that a doctor with her near death can finally, as long as there's no fetal heartbeat, which we know isn't even really a heartbeat, it can finally save the woman's life. And, you know, I try to do my little part as a member of the community. when people meet me and see me out and about. And, well, that suspiciously large woman has a smile for everybody. I never see her, but she doesn't say that she hopes I have a good day or that my day gets better. And if I'm having a bad day, she asks me if I'm all right, and she tells me she appreciates me. That stuff really matters on a personal level. Of course, I can do that because I'm an old. And I don't try to hide. I mean, I don't walk around with a trans pride flag across my shoulders like a superhero cape. But I just live my life and try to make sure that when people interact with me, IRL, that when I leave them a little bit happier than before. Yes, always, always, always. Steve says, oh, I forgot this. Stoke the stroke. Hashtag STS. It never ends, Kim in New York says, with a reference to a scum from Scummer. Let's see what that is. From the Mueller She Wrote account. Well, now, an FBI whistleblower tells Insider his supervisors at the New York FBI field office, pointing to McGonagall and other burrowed Giuliani allies, suppressed and stopped probes into Giuliani and Trump allies in the White House in August of 2022. Well, how about that, sports fans? It never ends. And we've known that the Manhattan FBI office has long been a seething ball of snakes, going all the way back to the 2016 election and before. In this case, according to Business Insider, the veteran FBI counterintelligence agent spent 14 years as a special agent, including a long stint in Russia-focused counterintelligence, and he says in a 22-page statement that his bosses interfered with his work in a highly suspicious suppression of investigations and intelligence gathering aimed at protecting certain politically active figures and possibly also FBI agents who were connected to Russian and Ukrainian oligarchs. In the statement, those protected figures included anyone in the Trump White House and any former or current associates of President Trump. That information's been out on Substack since, mid-July. This whistleblower said he wanted to improve the FBI and said it's essential, as imperfect as it is, because it can hold policymakers accountable, whether they're on the left or the right. Adding, this is a decision point. Are we going to do public corruption or not? I wonder how much fun this is going to be for Jim Jacket Off Jordan. This is actually a real whistleblower. Howdy do. Well, hey, Nipper. Thanks for never letting the phrase monkey up die, even when it's unexpected, like just now. signed Mark, up to speed, our buddy Mark in Florida. Robin, why he shoot? Going back to the guy in Provo. I'm guessing the FBI doesn't plug you unless maybe you provide some indication that you would like to plug the FBI agent first or maybe squeeze off a couple of rounds. I'm sorry, you get the first cowbell, Mark, for why he shoot? Why, Robin, he shoot? My gracious sakes. So you get an idea. And we haven't even gotten to the prayer meeting Wednesday part. But we are done with the first hour of the Phil-a-Robster, and these have had a way of turning into three-hour Phil-a-Robsters, and they're kind of exhausting. But we'll plug away. But if you'd like to get involved with the program, and I encourage you to, because conversation radio isn't much of a conversation when I'm doing all the conversating. The stress line, toll-free, is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And, of course, you can always reach me, reach the program, and the greater Horn Family Community Congregation on Skype. Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, it's official now. Kincaid, it's official now. Horn, Kincaid and Horn are one word, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. Send me a contact request and we'll be off and chatting. Why did they plug him, Stephen New York asks. You forgot about the blanket get-out-of-jail-free card existing while black. Has the ethnicity of the shooter been disclosed? Am I failing to understand appropriately? So down to Florida. No, this has nothing to do with Shakespeare. But today, Aileen Cannon, who has no business on the federal bench, ruled that. And of course, we've been talking about how, well, media organizations cannot bring electronic devices into the courtroom in order to assist in reporting on the trial of Nitwit Nero in the classified documents case. A group of media outlets, including NBC, ABC, CNN, and over a dozen others, filed a motion asking Judge Aileen Cannon to allow the use of electronic devices. In other words, being able to, for lack of a better term, and this is so early this century, live blog what's going on in the courtroom. And today, with no further comment, Aileen Cannon said, and this is this press. So I don't know if this puts any pressure on Judge Chutkan. But the question is, what is Aileen Cannon afraid of? Well, there was a story several days ago that said she had a case, I think last month, where she got everything wrong except maybe the lawyers' names, and that may even be up in the air. She's awful, she's incompetent, and she is a complete tanky for Nitwit Nero. And And this, I don't know, maybe this is another little piece of evidence suggesting that she has no business being on this case. Maybe consolidate it all and just give it all to Judge Chutkan. That could be fun. I was first. We didn't. No. So what does that say about a federal judge who does not want the only profession that is mentioned in the Constitution of the United States to be able to communicate what's going on in her courtroom in real time? How is it a disruption of the courtroom for a bunch of pixel-stained wretches to be sitting in the back row, staring at their screens, and thumbing wildly away, sending dispatches to the outside world of one of the two most important political, and not just political, but, you know, legal trials in the history of this country, perhaps going all the way back to the trial of Aaron Burr, in which Thomas Jefferson desperately wanted to see Burr murdered in the name of the Commonwealth of Virginia. She's awful. A friend of mine used to put it, she's awful, and we hate her. Steve says he was inarticulate. You mentioned that the FBI probably only plugged someone if they shot first. I was just saying that in general, they always have a reason to shoot a black person. I was in fear for my life. But in this case, I'm guessing that a wackadoodle maggot in Provo, Utah. Freedom! Wolverines! Probably squeezed off a few rounds first. Because it's not like that was Waco or Ruby Ridge. Although the maggots will be screaming any time now that it is. Good Lord. Recordings in the courtroom, Steve says, if we've learned anything from the youngins in this day and age, it is that, to paraphrase Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park regarding getting the word out, young real journalists will find a way. Well, if they're confiscating devices at the door, I mean, is Aileen Cannon also going to forbid potty breaks? Because at this point in time, it's a matter of running out of the courtroom, getting a dispatch out, and running back into the courtroom. I don't know. I just know that that's not exactly how to... apparently her inclination is in line with the inclination of our most puissant Dread Sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties in D.C., because, like I said the other day, you still have to huddle around the radio like you're trying to tune in FDR's fireside chat on the old RCA wireless, the old Philco wireless, if you want to hear oral arguments in a Supreme Court case, when there is no actual reason for doing it. Unless it's some sort of open secret that the justices are sitting there with their robes unzipped, having some naked Supreme Court underneath it or something. Then again, we do have the handmaid on the court and brat. You know, maybe they're necking over there at the far end of the court. Ha! Because, you know, the newbies have to sit on the end.
I want to sit next to the handmaid. Hey, baby, you want a beer? My daddy's rich.
That's a really disgusting thought, isn't it? Amy COVID Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh over at the far end of the Supreme Court dais sitting there playing tonsil hockey. Yeah, well, there went dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone. Sorry. Oh, my dear, dear Rodden, says Steve. Tiny cameras on glasses are recording messages embedded in eyeglasses. Micro cameras are recording devices in a walking stick. But the minute that that got published, Aileen Cannon would have the poor pixel-stained wretch before her saying, "I told you no electronic devices!" I can only hope and pray. The American people must see these proceedings. And I wonder if CNN, NBC, ABC, etc. I wonder if they have the verve to take that ruling up to the 11th United States Circuit Court of Appeals and test it all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. I hate to say it, but I think that would probably be fruitless. Because our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties, including Amy COVID Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh over there tongue wrestling on the end of the bench, would probably say, "It's within the discretion of the court."
You like baseball, baby? I got tickets to the Nationals. You want to go? Huh? Little seventh inning stretch, huh? Yeah. You got a couple of friends? I could get Boof and Queef to come with us.
So, yeah. Interesting thing. Over on CNN this morning, speaking to Poppy Harlow, former federal judge J. Michael Luttig, who, by the way, is a white winger, declared, quote, "American democracy simply cannot function with two equally healthy and equally strong political parties. So today, in my view, there is no Republican Party to counter the Democratic Party in the country." He's a never-Trumper, Luttig is. And he said, "There's no Republican Party. American democracy is in grave peril." He went on, Luttig did, to say that Nitwit Nero is a pressing danger to the United States. He said of Julius Geiser, "More so today than he was last summer when I testified before the Congress." And his election fraud allegations have corrupted American democracy. "For the 2.5 years since January 6th, these false claims have corrupted American democracy. They've corrupted American elections, and they've corrupted the perception of the American people in America herself. The evidence is overwhelming that Trump knew he lost the election. The standard will be, could a reasonable person have believed otherwise in the face of the overwhelming evidence to the contrary?" I wish he was actually correct, because there still is a Republican Party in the United States. Judge Luttig, who was appointed to the 4th United States Circuit Court of Appeals by George Bush. Yeah, that would be Dim Leader, not Pappy. He said, you know, there's no Republican Party. Yes, there is, Your Honor. It just happens to be captive to a movement that began before 1960 and finally reached its fruition in 2016. I hate this kind of parsimonious excuse-making.
Oh, no, 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 I'm talking about the good Republican Party. You know, the Republican Party that quietly wanted to suppress the vote. The Republican Party that quietly despised people of color. The Republican Party that quietly preferred to see millions of preventable deaths from lack of insurance. You know, the good old rock-ribbed GOP.
Right?
Sure.
But I understand, they're kind of brokenhearted, aren't they? They so desperately want to go back to the good old days when the closets were filled to bursting and the lunch counters were exquisitely white and women knew better than to want to have bank account in their own name. That was the America that was great. That was the America that we want to make great again. Unfortunately, the Republican Party is alive and well. American democracy is in grave peril, says Steve. If Ohio and Kansas tell us anything, it's that America is in danger of having the people take over. Well, Steve, in things like Social Security law and workers' comp, when you talk about the skills of a person who is perhaps seeking some sort of disability, there's always a discussion about transferability. You know, you might not be able to work your former job anymore, but you might have transferable skills that you could use in another job. And I think the real question is, what of the transferability of people who vote alongside Democrats in trying to protect and preserve a woman's right to choose? Can they be counted on to show up and make sure that other Republican fetish objects are also not foisted upon the country? Polling data would be interesting coming out of Ohio. Do you think there was anybody in that majority that rejected issue one who was a Trump voter? Do you think there was anybody in that majority who thought that Joe Biden stole the election? I don't know if anybody will actually make that inquiry. But it's a terribly interesting inquiry. By the way, in memory of Robbie Robertson of the band passing away today, Ralph's has a $25 challenge on the table. It is thus far unmatched, and it could at least take a bite out of last Thursday and get us down, if someone will match that $25, get us down to $1,280, which would be $80 away from finishing last Thursday. It'd be great if that could happen. Oh, let's check in on the original Monkey Up. The PayPal interface is at headon.live, the main page there, if you're new to the program and you like what you're hearing. On, please, if you're listening to the podcast, like and subscribe on whatever platform you listen on. I'm not pleading for praise on my Facebook page or anything like that. Wherever you take the podcast, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Republic, Spotify, iHeartRadio, any of those, like and subscribe there and tell the algorithms how much you like it. Please and thank you. Now, like I said, let's check in on the original Monkey Up, the Monkey Up OG. See how hip I am, kids? There's been yet another shakeup in the flailing, weaving all over the road on basically down to the rims, Monkey Up's presidential campaign. Yesterday, Monkey Up sacked his campaign manager. Ever since Monkey Up fired up his campaign, in which he was going to absolutely be the heir apparent to Donald Trump, well, a woman named Janera Peck has been his campaign chief all the way back to May. Well, she is now former Monkey Up campaign chief, having been replaced by a dude named James Uffmeyer, who is also an aide near and dear to Monkey Up. Last month, they dumped 40 employees and shuffled up the management structure. One big-time Republican money man, Dan Eberhardt, said, it's just one senior advisor replacing another senior advisor. It's not like Peck is leaving the campaign team. Janera Peck is still the chief strategist. Eberhardt said, Governor DeSantis has to change the dynamics. That much is clear. This is a realignment rather than a reset because both folks were already senior advisors. And Monkey Up is lagging behind Nitwit Nero 47% to 13%. If he was a horse, he'd still be in the starting gate wondering where that noisy bell was coming from. And Uffmeyer, who is described as a staunch conservative by Reuters, he doesn't know what he's doing in either campaigning or electoral politics. Uffmeyer is a former senior advisor for Wilbur Ross. Remember Wilbur, who was the Secretary of Commerce under Nitwit Nero? And most recently, he was general counsel for Monkey Up. And most recently, his chief of staff. And I wonder if this guy's going to have a job for very long, because the comms director for the Monkey Up campaign is a dude named Romeo. Oh, we can't have that. That's Shakespeare. Well, Romeo said,
James Uffmeyer has been one of Governor DeSantis's top advisors for years, and he is needed where it matters most. Working hand in hand with Janera Peck,
Isn't that adultery? Or fornication?
And the rest of the team to put the governor in the best possible position to win this primary and defeat Joe Biden.
But somebody's head had to sort of roll because the single largest individual donor to a bundling group that's supporting Monkey Up, a guy named Robert Bigelow, said,
I'm done giving you any money until you do what I want you to do. Because extremism isn't going to get you elected.
And he's been crying out for being more moderate on the campaign trail. Oh, well, Robert Bigelow. Apparently, more dollars than cents. He doesn't understand. Who the Republican Party is now. They spend all the time walking on their mouths and breathing through their knuckles and picking their teeth with their toenail clippings and grunting about Trump. And the weaponization of the federal government. Yeah, look, I hate to put such a fine point on it, but you can replace everybody in the entire Monkey Up campaign. But as the saying goes, the fish rots from the head. The campaign staff is not the problem. Monkey Up is the problem. Monkey Up with his fascist delusions that are fueled on a daily basis by a bleach blonde Lady Macbeth that he's married to. Oh, Ronnie, screw your courage to the sticking place. That's really a shitty thing to say about Lady M, isn't it? But there's no way that Monkey Up is the brains of the outfit. It just, no. No. Hey, thank you, TJ. TJ was there for the Robbie Robertson Memorial Challenge, courtesy of Ralphs. Thank you. Thank you, TJ. So that's met, and we're down to $12.80. Another $80. Thursday's done. If anybody wants to keep this little ball rolling. And so, you know, it would be great to maybe finish Thursday before tomorrow Thursday so that we're not just living a week in the past. It's a Jethro Tull song, isn't it? Living in the past. Jeremy, with a note, the DeSantian donor. Robert Bigelow is the billionaire that's famous for UFO investigations and owned Skinwalker Ranch at one time. I don't even know if I want to look up Skinwalker Ranch. That sounds like it might be next door to Rick Perry's ranch down in Texas. Skinwalker Ranch? Is that a typo? Do I want to know? Is it something to do with nudism? Or is that supposed to be Skywalker Ranch? Because I got to tell you, Skinwalker Ranch has a kind of a zombie feel about it. Were the Skinwalkers in Game of Thrones or something? Thank you, Ralphs. Apparently, on issue one? Back at the beginning of July and the beginning of August, Ohioans were evenly split on issue one. It didn't play out that way. I think I can even hear you. Okay, thank you, Ralph, for the horn, being the Horn Ad Hoc Jethro Tull Research Committee. I think I can even hear the melody to Living in the Past. So here we are at the halfway point of the program. That's 90 minutes of unabashed filler obstering. Let's find out who's on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. And you're not there. There's a little patience involved here. Skinwalker Ranch. Oh dear, I'm almost afraid to click, but here I am. Skinwalker Ranch, according to Wikipedia, also known as Sherman Ranch, is a property of approximately 512 acres located southeast of Ballard, Utah, that is reputed to be the site of paranormal and UFO related activities. Name taken from the skinwalker of Navajo legend concerning vengeful shamans. Yay, way to appropriate indigenous culture, somebody. Claims about the ranch first appeared in 1996 in the Salt Lake City, Utah Deseret News and later in the alternative weekly Las Vegas Mercury as a series of articles by investigative journalist George Knapp. Oh, it's the Amityville Horror. It's the Amityville Horror House of the American West. They're here. All right. Somebody's on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Robin.
Jerry.
Princess of the Past. How the hell are you?
Ah, well, you know, we're halfway, made it halfway through the program.
You know, I called half an hour ago, and you just kept talking. I'm like, Robin, I'm on my phone. Robin just feels like talking.
No, there's just a shit ton of stuff, and you can't, I mean, you want to...
There's so much stuff.
Continuity, you know, maintaining the flow, the continuity, you know.
I think the most, look at Blackie here. I have a cat that follows me around. She's attached to my neighbor, who I call the cat lady sometimes. She walks the cat. Those are just four, I think.
Well, there went Jerry. It may have been the cat. Huh. So, this is it. Apparently it is all about the cat. So, in other words, Robert Bigelow, wait a minute, a guy that deals with UFO and paranormal activity wants Monkey Up Declantis to be a little less weird. Y'all, when you're too weird for a guy who's into paranormal activity and UFOs, no aspersions being cast thereupon, but when you're too weird for him, I'd say your presidential ambitions are probably something less than solid. Let's try this again. Is that you, Jerry?
That's me. You know what? I have these two headphones, and I hate them. They're pretty purple, though. But I usually try to stay away from fashion over form, just because if you turn your head or hug somebody, they cut the call. And that caught me mid-hug. I was doing huggy liberal things. And I was telling my wonderful neighbor cat lady goodbye. I love Southport. I really do. I love the weirdness, the strangeness, the sharpness. I love the steamy weather. Anyways, I have a mild. Well, did you see the picture of my little air garden there?
Yes, I did. I did.
Right. No soil. Just air and humidity. And some water. Doubled in size today.
Wow.
It has been amazing for my mental health. I got to tell you. I'm out here collecting rainwater because distilled water is hard to get. Even RO water is hard to get now.
it still has impurities in it, like 1,300 parts per million.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's still supposed to have under 100. Yeah. It's still supposed to have under 100. Regular city water is supposed to be in the 500s. Something's wrong with the water over here. In the MI. But I had a small per meeting Wednesday miracle.
Yes.
I had an amazing manic time last week. And I was dreading a crash. And the crash is come. I've been in a dark place the last 5 days, just toughing it out. And I had an impression from wherever inspirations come from to get some Morning Glory seeds last week. Now, Morning Glory seeds have always been purported.
They hallucinogenic.
Put it on the, yes. And
right up there with nutmegs and also, nutmeg and banana peels, as long as you're not buying your nutmeg from a Yankee peddler out of Connecticut who's just selling you a wooden fake.
I almost fell down in the street yesterday. I was working out. Was it yesterday, the day before you started talking about the nutmeg with the accent? I was like, oh, I'm done. I'm done. That would work today. With the internet in place.
Just put the Pepperidge Farm guy in a Speedo down on South Beach with a bag of phony nutmegs, and away you go. I mean, it's Florida.
Well, you have to promise some kind of a euphoria. I mean, you're not just going to sell spices on South Beach. It's not going to work. Can I smoke it?
Yeah, but it's nutmeg, so yeah. How come?
That's the South Beach question. Answered everything. Can I smoke it?
Sure you can. How come this shit tastes like? How come this shit tastes like pencil shavings?
I'm gonna beat you up, man. Hey, get my gun. Right, you've been to South Beach before, I can tell. that's where you do something like that. So there's all kinds of formulas online. And years ago, I tried its cousin, baby woodrow seeds, and I just got sick and felt slightly sleepy. But I would say, shit, this happened maybe 5 years before my brain injury, like in 2004, 2005, where I said, you know what? If I ever do this again, I'm just going to try to ingest the seedlings because this seems really bass-ackwards to me. Everybody said you're supposed to access, you know, the seed hulls or what's inside and remove the husk.
Hey, Jerry, I just have to interject here, and I think this is a public service. Stay away from the pokeberries and the poke leaves and the poke salad vines or stalks or whatever.
No, I don't miss any.
Okay. I mean,
I don't miss any of that. Here's the point.
If you're just randomly ingesting seedlings, I mean, that's...
No. I am not that guy. I am a little background here. I was on the microbiology path when I was in high school, believe it or not, and I went to college pre-med. Where I'm realizing I should have, they didn't have the facilities. I should have did botany or something like that. When I was there, I just did mechanics and body work because I couldn't make up my mind what the fuck I wanted to do. And computers were still running, VisiCalc 1, 2, 3. So I was like, no, I've done VisiCalc already. I'm not going to pay you college money to learn it again. Anyway, here's the point. I had a couple of sprouts, washed them off, threw the seeds away. And son of a bitch, it was a microdose. It was the LSA or the ergotamine inside the seeds grows as a seedling. I think it's to protect the plants from birds, to be honest with you, because when they come up, they look succulent. Do you follow me? And birds love seedlings.
Yeah, sure.
That's their jam. And it's bitter and nasty. And holy shit, my daughter, who's 26, she just came back from Jamaica today. She said, "Pop, you need to trip." I go, "No, I don't want to trip. I don't see any dead relatives." Ah. This is my daughter telling me this. My daughter's one of the coolest people in the world, by the way. No, I didn't want to get intoxicated. I just wanted some emotional swelling to go down. And that's exactly what happened. Heard music better, ate some food, and had the best sleep I've had in 20 years. And that was it. Hippie shit, Robin.
Yeah, yes. Hippie shit. Yes, yes.
That's we pretty grow hippie.
Medicine around here. Yeah. And I can't wait for the flowers too. But yeah, I haven't been able to get a psychiatric med prescription. Yay, American healthcare system, and I have insurance too. But I guess the Republicans fucked up the last cycle. Everybody's even on Medicaid, they're asking for a fucking deductible, which is insane. I'm like, really? No, I'm not fucking with you. Out of here, brokey. So. Yeah. And I feel so connected to the planet. I haven't felt disconnected. I was like, oh yeah, I remember feeling like this. I remember wanting to go talk to a tree and see how it's been doing. But it wasn't, it was mostly mental. And all the blockages and all the bullshit and all of the stealers of life were gently portrayed on the screen in my mind, and I was like, oh, that's why I'm fucked up about that. Oh, that's what that's about. Oh, I'm carrying it. Oh, which, that's what psychedelics are supposed to do, right?
Yeah, well, as the late great prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, said, their purpose is to get your third eye squeegeed clean.
Yeah, well, it's not squeegeed, but the wiper came out. The wiper definitely came out. And I can see past it. And I'm not manic today or depressed. I'm just right in the middle and just grateful as hell and got those eyes of a five-year-old again. Which, in the old school Bible, you know, when it wasn't about killing immigrants, it says, unless you become as a child, you shall not see the face of the Creator. Did you see the beatdown in Montgomery?
Oh, yes. I'm glad you brought that up.
You haven't talked about that. That was epic.
No, I haven't. It's and I presume by now...
It's a whole 7 minutes long.
I presume...
It's a whole 7 minutes long.
I presume by now that everyone has... in the Horn Family Community Congregation has probably seen it, but... I saw a side-by-side meme... recently, Montgomery, let me see if I can find it. The Texas T might have been the one who sent it to me. Hold on. The first picture is a picture of Rosa Parks.
Okay.
And it says, sit down, 1953. And the next picture is a white dude getting a folding chair into the head, and it says, Montgomery, Alabama, sit down, 2023. So the backstory, if anybody doesn't know it, here's the backstory. Some good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, white Alabamians was out on their pontoon
maggots.
Boat.
They were all maggots.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they're maggots. Yes, they're absolutely maggots. And they were out on their pontoon boat down Montgomery, Alabama. We say it that way, you know, Montgomery. And they had tied their, they tied up their pontoon boat to the city dock. And they were told repeatedly to move their fucking boat. Because... the
for like 45 minutes. For like 45 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I said repeatedly. And so eventually, a dock worker, a black man, came over, cast off the line, and was immediately attacked by a gang of white guys.
There's a waiting riverboat just sitting there idling trying to get into the cut.
Right.
You forgot that part.
Well, no, that's what I said. The city's riverboat was waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was that boat's actual docking space. And so mayhem erupts, and then some people came to the rescue of the dock worker and began raising absolute hell with the maggots and beat the fuck out of them. And eventually the cops showed up, and for once they got it right and arrested all the obnoxious, drunk, white maggot people. And
I got to give a little play-by-play here, Robin. I got to give a little play-by-play. So, four people bum-rushed the rather larger, about 280-pound black man, you know, standard skinny legs, big stomach. And he is incredibly patient. They're swinging, he's pushing, they're swinging. This is a guy who's obviously just trying to keep his job. So he goes to the ground, and I cringe. I'm like, oh, shit, they'll never go to the ground. That's the worst thing to happen in a fight. He pops back up. I'm cheering for him. He runs away. They chase him down the dock, trying to fight him. Now, beforehand, before this fight had started, he had done the international, I guess, in Montgomery, Alabama, black signal of throwing his hat in the air. That was very significant. It's very funny online. Talking about it's the bat signal, we call it. So he throws his hat in the air. About 3 minutes pass because, and I can say this because black people are always late, but we're always on time. And he's getting run. All of a sudden, across the lock, down the dock, up the dock, come brothers, sisters, everyone, aunties, uncles, cousins, shirts off. And if someone said online, skipping. They said, skipping your shirt off is the haka of the South. It's still funny. It really is. It's the international. It's the battle move.
Right.
It really
and,
is.
And one, and, guy jumped. And one brother jumped in the river and swam to it.
Swam to him. And somebody says, if a brother's swimming to kick your ass, he's going to kick your ass. It's just run. And it's a melee. The maggots are overrun. It was like 5-1, 7-1. Now, each maggot has three helpful brothers beating the absolute shit out of them. And they're terrified. The women are beating the women. The men are beating the men. And then the chair guy comes out. One of the famous posts online is that a black man invented a chair in 1908, which is funny. That's, I think, in Montgomery, too. What made that significant was that particular spot where they were at. That's where the slave ships and the distribution starts. Right there. In Montgomery, Alabama. I didn't know that. Just hearing that made me very emotional. So the vibe was, not today, motherfuckers. Not today. So this is a warning to all the maggots who jump up and down and go, we want a civil war. It's going to go like that. And the great thing was there were no weapons involved. And the white people are going to jail. And the head maggot there has he's a white supremacist. He has a Facebook page that says he doesn't want any inferior black dollars. Fuck the gorillas, he said. So karma has a way, don't she?
the goddess of irony does not play fair.
No, she does not. Everybody who came for an ass whooping got an ass whooping. And it's the kind of thing that you wanted to see during the Trump era, but that never happened. It seemed like during the Trump era, gravity stopped working. People would do the stupidest of shit, and nothing would happen to them. That's why. I mean, and it's been that raid that happened a year ago, and I don't care what you want to call it. That was the first sign to me. It was that gravity had returned. This is like an amputation without any anesthesia, but we got to do it. And it's going to be messy and whatever, but we got to do it. The Republicans don't have any answers for anything. I posted some video or a link to some video of a house floating away in Alaska. I was like, oh, I didn't even. Oh, they're built on ice. They're going to have problems because it's all melting. Not 20 years from now, not 50 years from now, right the fuck now. And every day in August, it's felt hurricaney. Hurricaney is when you can see the air because it's steep and there's no wind. And I hate to ask for a...
Oh, by the way, just one second. I've got a factual addendum to what you've been describing. Matt in San Francisco reminds us the dock worker was actually the co-captain of the riverboat.
Yeah, 16 years old, too. That's crazy.
No, dude was not 16. The big guy? No.
The swimming dude.
Swimming dude was 16. The guy who got originally attacked was the co-captain of the riverboat.
Wow, so Captain's got on the dock, you dumb fucks. Yeah, I've been I was immersed in.
I saw the story, and you know that Warner Brothers cartoons live in my head, Scary Jerry. And I immediately heard Yosemite Sam. Maggots is so stupid.
How is that going to go? Seriously, I don't understand the entitlement. I don't. I'm starting to understand the maggot breakdown. I really am. And maggot just means anti-uppity. And we've all gotten uppity. The trans have gotten uppity. The blacks have gotten uppity. The Latinos have gotten... Everybody's gotten uppity. We don't know our place.
The trans shut down a bicycle race fairly recently.
Good for y'all. Seriously.
Because now the phobes and the turfs are getting all pissy about bicycles. Trans can't ride bicycles.
Really?
Not competitively.
I don't get it. I've never really wanted to know what somebody was doing with their crotch unless I was personally involved.
Wait a minute. Hold on. There's the second cowbell of the evening, everyone.
Seriously, though, I've lived my life by that. People start talking about those details. I just keep it moving, walk faster.
You know, that's one of those moments. You know, what was Billy Bush thinking when Nitwit Nero said to him all those years ago?
Sometimes I take a Tic Tac because you just never know when you're going to need to kiss somebody. And, of course, you know, you can just grab them by the pussy.
One of the funniest conversations I've ever heard in South Beach was a 4'10", very masculine lesbian. She was walking with her friends, like guys do. And she was talking about a specific girl on how she had been with all kinds of women, and she was this, and she was that. And I was like, oh, wow, these are details I didn't know. I didn't need to know. But it was hysterical because she sounded like a dude. And I had a profound understanding for the rainbow people at that point. Just humans are funny, man. They turn out how they turn out. That's it. Mid-50s, I'm still trying to get it right. I don't have time to get into anybody. I don't understand how people have the time.
I know.
There's so much to do and see, so much to experience.
Well, you'll be interested to know that Ralph's serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Montgomery Doc Brawl Research Department. Apparently, two of the suspects have yet to turn themselves in. They were still not in custody as of this morning. Richard Roberts, 48, Alan Todd, 23, and Zachary Shipman, 25, are all facing charges. You know, one's in custody. The two haven't. Personally, I hope they hole up in a cabin in the woods, and whatever comes after.
Just stay away, guys. Keep running. Stay away. They're still looking for you. Stay away. Get off the grid now. I got no problem with that. Did you see the thing?
Get off the grid now. Oh, that's good. That's good. Get off the grid now.
Seriously. Oh shit! What was that thing I saw? You think Elon's going to get charged for holding up the records? I don't know.
Well, I don't think charged, but he's got a $350,000 check. He'd better, by God, write.
Yeah. No, he and what's Eileen Cannon going? You know they're going another grand jury. You know about that trial? I'm like, why don't you just sit at the fucking chair at this point, Eileen? Come on, get down from the thing. Just go sit there. You're not going to get paid, but I don't know what you're doing. But I once again, I got to tip my hat to Jack Smith. It's like he knew.
We're not talking about rocket surgery here, Jerry. The behavior of your garden variety maggot, of which Leon Scum, I mean, there's nothing extraordinary or exceptional about Leon Scum. A maggot's a maggot. With apologies to Gertrude Stein. And their behavior can be predicted, and you don't even need a Ouija board. So, you know.
Or one of those shake up eggs called? The one that you always have? The magic eight ball.
Mine has a cracked screen, so it always says answer hazy, ask again later.
I think the triple indictment broke Trump. I really do. He's babbling nonsense. I've watched him and I'm like, man, he looks terrible.
Well, wait.
And he doesn't have any punch or fire to him.
Well, wait till the black lady in Atlanta busts him.
Oh, wow. But, well, I'm talking about the January 6th filing in Washington.
Right.
That came out of nowhere. It's like a checkers move or something like that, where they loaded up on Eileen Cannon and he exhausted all his bullshit and then boom, here's the real case, motherfucker. 4 charges. Deal with it. You got nothing to say about it.
Wait. Don't
free speech.
Yeah. Don't get ahead of yourself. It starts all the way back with E. Jean Carroll. Every moment after that is a moment in which he's running his filthy orange gob, having already been adjudged by a jury tried and true in Manhattan as a liable sexual abuser. I mean, it's not subject to question now. You don't have to say alleged in front of that. Sexual abuser Donald Trump. It should be a proper reference among the hoity-toity multimillionaire for-profit media. It's kind of like finally,
he killed red ties and dressing room hookups forever too. You fuckhead, he really did. I used to rock a red tie really hard. Not anymore. Got to find. I think purple is my new color. No, you removed the conjecture that he is a rapist. Because the judge said, you know, you're any other fucking state, you'd be a rapist. That's pretty much what he'd say. He says, but in New York, it has to be a pee-pee, so I guess technically you're not a rapist, but you're still a piece of shit.
It is not E. Jean Carroll's fault that she could not tell the difference between his finger and his schmeckle.
You know, I really miss Saturday Night Live. That's something they could have done an hour on. There's so much stuff that, our laughing, talking heads and nothing. We got nothing. But, and I said this last month, and it's true. I said the elites, the true 1%, the worst thing in the world for them is this fucking writer's strike right now. So you got all half of fucking Ohio voting in August. Nothing to see on TV. Might as well go vote. Call of Duty comes out in December.
Oh, dear God. Not Call of Duty.
No, but I understand Americans way too well.
Your finger is on the pulse.
No new shows, no new video games. Let's go vote. Fuck it.
But going back to Montgomery for just a minute, nobody wants to go back to Montgomery. But going back to Montgomery for just a minute, you know, there is more to the story. There was another... There was another boat that the Harriet II riverboat with a shit ton of passengers on it had to negotiate around, also full of drunk-ass maggots. And what's being reported is the dockside brawl part of it. But the whole thing was a hot mess, and, you know, there needs to be some jail time out of this.
Well... I was thinking, isn't that federal charges for blocking a federal waterway? Seriously. That's TSA shit.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't jam a waterway like that. It's fed charges.
But
rivers are within
and
the purview.
Commerce, intentionally.
Yeah, but rivers are within the purview of individual states. That's why I mentioned the fact that the Ohio River, from about Wheeling, West Virginia, all the way down to like Point Pleasant, West Virginia, that's West Virginia's river. We don't share it. It's ours. And I'm trying to, I guess that's the Alabama River in Montgomery.
Mm. Montgomery's close to the coast? I haven't looked at it.
No, but the Alabama River, the Alabama River flows south to Mobile Bay. It is joined by the Cahaba River over in not far from Selma, Alabama, and then makes its merry way down to the down to Mobile Bay, I think, because very few people know that.
You know,
south of Montgomery, there's a lot of Alabama that's just bayou. But we only think about bayous in terms
what?
Of bayou, and because we only we only tend to think about Louisiana with bayous, but yeah, it's all kind of swampy.
I have a strange dichotomy. Part of my switch is a feminine southern accent. The more backwoods, the better. So one of those situations where my lower parts definitely get me in trouble. And I was, every time I go, hey, you should wander over to Mississippi or something like that. Find yourself a nice Mississippi. Because southern women are great. They really are. They're ride or die, usually. However, things like the Montgomery thing, I'm like, oh, yeah, fucking South. I'm in the only part of the South that you know, if somebody shoots me in the street, they're actually going to investigate it. Which is, that's a fucked up reality to approximate. But yeah, every time I think something like that, Kentucky accent, I think women from Kentucky are fucking gorgeous, and that accent, oh, and they build Corvettes up there.
And they build Corvettes up there. I love that.
That Alabama mindset. Huh?
They build Corvettes up there.
I am a fan, a first generation fan of America. Really. I bought the lie and the hope and the dream full tilt, and I don't intend to give it back. I still, that whole, but they don't want us here part. Cause shit, my quote unquote home country is only like 300 miles away. The island of Jamaica is booming right now. We got a lot of Chinese investment.
Naturally.
And I may get shot down there over some weird gang violence, but I will never get shot down there for the color of my skin. Which, I think you can understand that.
I can. Oh yeah. I'm all excited because here, yeah. Now that documentation is falling into place, I'm going to be getting my passport soon.
There you go.
And that excites me.
Where are you going?
I don't know that I'm going anywhere.
I want to do that too.
But the thing is, okay, this is part of the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago about full faith and credit in the Constitution and conflict of laws. If I have a federal passport and it says on it that I am female, that is unchallengeable by any state in this country. And so, passport in hand, I could take my happy ass to Florida, walk into the ladies' room, and as I said before, if some, you know, turfy transphobe DeSantis vote and Florida freak woman says hey and demands I get out, you know, the Florida law says that I got to get out, or the law will be called, and when they call the law and I hold up my little federal passport that says it's a girl, then you have a constitutional issue.
Wow. Or you could just have a expandable baton and beat the shit out of somebody.
Yeah, I don't want to go to a Florida jail.
Yeah. Good point. No, I there's a lot. No, I wouldn't want to go to Florida jail either. Florida jails are, shit. Rather go to Georgia if I even said that. Anyways, I'm working on a piece of art that I have Mitch McConnell, Joe Biden, and Dianne Feinstein writing the work on dinosaurs.
Oh, that's a pretty art installation.
I already have Joe Biden on the dinosaur, and it's hysterical. He's in traffic. He looks happy. I was like, yeah, he should really lean into the old thing. It's all I got. So you lean into it. Joe Biden's older than television. How about that? He was born, what, 6 years after radio? Or before, somewhere around there?
He was not born before radio. Now quit that and get off Joe Biden fast.
I love Joe Biden, but lean into it. You take some people online were talking about how the right is so pissed off about the Dark Brandon meme. And I'm like, that's how you do it. That's how you do it.
Well, they've got a new hissy. Scary, Jerry, there's a new hissy. You might be interested in this.
What's up?
Because it's just so pathetically hilarious. The latest maggot freakout is taking place at Washington and Lee University over in the Old Dominion, Virginia. And they're upset about, wait for it, Bobby Lee's horse.
Bobby Lee's who? His horse?
His horse.
His whore.
Horse.
His sex worker.
No, his horse.
His horse. Maybe a sex worker, too.
Traveler. Well, you know, we're talking about Bobby Lee here, so you never know.
Can't be too sure.
So, it used to be Washington College, okay? But after the war, they gave, because, you know, Bobby Lee was all homeless and shit after the war. Should have been swinging by a rope, but that's a different discussion. He was homeless, so the kindly folks of Washington College renamed it Washington and Lee and gave him a job as president of the college. And then when Bobby Lee's faithful steed, Traveler, and just as an aside, I can head out US 60 East, the Midland Trail, drive for about 15 miles, and there's a little side of the road, it's just a spot on the side of the road called Traveler's Rest, and it's said to be a spot where old Bobby Lee stopped to get Traveler a drink of water. I mean, you know, we're still paying attention to shit like that around here. So Traveler was terribly famous in his own right, and so over at Washington and Lee University, There were two markers dedicated to Traveler, the horse. And back last month, the university officials took down two markers. The first plaque they took down was on a stable, said to be the last home of Traveler. And then the other marker was a gravestone. They buried the horse near University Chapel, which is also where they buried old Bobby Lee the traitor.
Where was this? Where is this? What city is this?
Washington and Lee University. And so
what city is this? Is this in Alabama as well?
No, I said this is in Old Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Right. The Old Dominion.
You can relate it to that because it's like your sister state. For me, that's a ways away.
Yeah, there's Virginia, and then there's where I live, which is Best Virginia.
but the most diverse state in the union.
It's but no, the burial site of the horse and Bobby Lee. You're not making this easy, Jerry. Is a national landmark. They also took down two other plaques, one of which was the spot where Bobby Lee stood when he took the presidential oath of office for the college, and then there was a plaque where his office was located, and they took it all down, and the maggots lost their, well, what passed the thin, they lost the thin gray settlings that slosh around betwixt their ears and pass for brains.
Are they really freaking out, or is it just Russian
No, no, they really agitation. Are. No, this is John. You know who Jonathan Turley is, right, Scary Jerry?
Yeah. But noted, I mean,
noted, noted legal scholar. Jonathan Turley said, "It appears that Washington and Lee University is not only canceling Lee, but even his horse."
What the fuck happened to Jonathan Turley? Jesus Christ.
He's been a maggot for years, Jerry.
You sure? He used to... Didn't during the Bush administration he used to say shit that made sense?
No.
Really? Maybe he just has a really credible sounding name. That's it. Because that's retarded. No deference to neurotypicals. Why this bridge to die on?
Because they're erasing a glorious and noble history of the South.
I think the South can lean really heavily on fried chicken and barbecue, and everybody would be fine with that. It's college football.
Okay, you got the trifecta this evening. But the fact of the matter is that it's not like they melted down the plaques into slag or anything. They put it in a very nicely curated historical display, putting it in context with who Bobby Lee and presumably who Traveler were. And when Turley put out his scum on the website and on Leon Scum's Scummer website, the junior senator from Texas, the anointed future booger-eating king of America, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, said, "And the horse you rode in on." But there were other responses, and the Daily Beast had the story. I love this. Georgia State University law professor Anthony Michael Christ said, "Traveler was not honored for any other reason than the myth behind the guy who sat on his back, Robert E. Lee, who viewed the horse as his property no different than the black persons he fought to keep." Mic drop.
I still think it's Russian amplification. I really do. They're doing it all over the world. It was a British intelligence thing that talked about this. And Canada's on their ass right now, too. And I wouldn't want Canada coming for you. They take a long time to get pissed.
Well, I don't have any evidence to suggest that Jonathan Turley is a Russian agent. But...
No, he's a head bobber. All right? No, not that him. They take a little... You can see it on Reddit, okay? Somebody will have a news clip. And it'll be anti-Xi or anti-Putin, and instantly the automated downvoting bots come in, and then the agents actually come in with their talking points, and they drag the whole conversation down. And if you show yourself, this is one of the things I don't like about Reddit, because all your posts can be seen at once, of having a particular political bent, and everything you write will be downvoted. Everything you've ever written will be downloaded, automated, and by humans to lower your voice. I've just spent 3 months working on raising my voice. My the Joe Biden mugshot meme got 1,000 likes on two separate platforms. It's a thing. And that's me just doing my little part. Well, what did you do, Grandpa, in the Great Wars? I did memes. I did memes.
And that's better than, as George C. Scott said in Patton, that's better than I shoveled shit in Louisiana.
You know what? But that we lost the meme war last time. I saw the Krager. No, we got to come up with a name for that. The Kruger University.
Oh, wait. Are you going for a fourth cowbell now? The Kruger U?
Yes.
Kruger U. Their cheer is Fred D.
They had Frederick Douglass debating the merits of it really wasn't slavery. They had a little animated character. He kind of looked like a little Richard looking character. And I'm like,
Wait, what? Prager U is depicting Frederick Douglass as little Richard?
He was wearing a purple jacket. Yes. And he was going, no, slavery wasn't that bad. And I'm like, this is what the census is doing. Me and my daughter had a conversation a year ago when her daughter was 4 that I said, I'm already amping up and ramping up so she can go to private school where she can get an actual fucking education. Especially her being mixed. She's going to need protection from the system as it works. And also, shootings. They don't shoot up in private schools as much as they, although, you know, that streak broke this year, but I think that had something to do. There were some feelings and memories involved there. That was somebody who went to the school. But as a rando, you don't get to just walk in a public, private school. Just wander in with a gun. The police will be involved. Because that's where the rich white people go. I hate to say it that way, but that's the world we live in, isn't it?
I mean, yeah.
You never hear about a shooting at those schools. So, I don't know. Every time you say the census, it's triggering. I can't wait for the first hurricane so you can fuck it up. So America can ask tough questions, because that motherfucker can't even answer a question.
You know, you've heard me mention our pal Joy in Ann Arbor. Joy said something earlier today that I kind of went, well, yeah, I mean, it's not a terrible idea. She said, let's just move all the maggots to Florida.
No, and I said,
Florida's
yep. Really beautiful.
And I said, yep, and then just sit back and wait for the hurricanes to take care of matters.
Because I'm going to sidle up on the coast. There is no. You know, the hate on Florida is starting to get to me. That little piece of Florida I'm in right now, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I mean, I understand there's parts of Florida I would go, and it's okay. Really, day or night, just don't. No reason to do that. But this little piece down here at the end, near the tip, as they say, it's good down here.
Oh my God! Wait, just the tip, really?
Yes, I did that. I stuck that in there. Woo-hoo. Kind of like Trump. No, he didn't do that. But and it's not a finger. But the thing is, you know what? I like going to a Latin supermarket, even though I'm mad at the manager at the one that I go to. I like the.
Are you kidding? I love it. I love international markets. I can get.
There's three of them around me.
I mean, the one I used to go to in Manassas, God, you've never had such fresh seafood. And the fruits and vegetables, oh my goodness, you could buy a fresh durian. Durian is an acquired taste, but still.
How about the spices? Just the spices.
Oh, hell yes.
This and that. And I just found an Indian international restaurant and, up on my dad. And I was just peering. I was like, oh, man, there's all kinds of stuff in here I didn't see before. And I love that. And I don't understand wanting everything to be white bread. I don't get it. Saturday Live did a skit about basketball before Michael Jordan. Do you remember that one? It's in black and white, and he's playing in the 50s with all white teams. And, you know, he looks white, and then all of a sudden he does Michael Jordan shit, and everybody's staring at him and just going, what are you doing? Can you dribble the ball like that? Everybody does what they do, and they do it well. What's wrong with that? I don't want to buy a taco from a redneck. I want a redneck to fix my lift kit and maybe put a turbo on my diesel. All right?
Jesus, you're banging on all eight this evening. You are.
Hey, I told you what happened. I had to set that up. I'm so balanced. I want the Indian people making Indian food and maybe being my doctor and talking to me bad, but giving me good health service. And I want a nerd when I fix my computer. Everybody's good at something. It's all
It's important not worthwhile. To stereotype. It's important not to stereotype.
No, I'm not stereotyping. There's a nice female landscaper who I've never seen a female landscaper before, who is doing the landscaping in the neighborhood, and I tip my hat and I smile at her embarrassingly. She smiles back. We've done it 3 weeks in a row. That I've never smiled and played eyes with the landscapers before. So no, it's not about stereotypes, but probabilities. You know, we're all good at something, but don't stop anybody from being good at anything. There was a story, I don't know where that was. I think it was in Indiana, where two black guys moved in with a white girl, and they weren't, I don't even think they were dating. I think she was sick or whatever. And they got raided because somebody dropped a dime and said, hey, we're selling, black people are selling drugs. And they got tortured. And the six of them got federal charges, and they all pled guilty. But that's 2023. You know, oh, black people are selling drugs. That's enough to ruin, get your, they were tortured for 2 hours. Because they couldn't find any drugs. And cold medicine. Which is why they're there. Not to cook it up for an actual cold.
Jeez.
I don't know. I wish Biden would decriminalize. I heard he's doing some things at the FDA right now. He's switching up. DEA over to fucking but I don't know. Fucking Feinstein's broken down. Mitch is talking nonsense.
Wait, Biden's what?
Moving descheduling cannabis. They're actually making moves on that. But all you need is a Bobo or MPG to go, oh, no. Anybody using any kind of drugs is a cry for help.
I mean, I don't know how many rails of Adderall Nitwit Nero snorts a day, but it can't be a number smaller than like 8.
Well, he's the reason why there's a shortage, but still, you know what? I hate the fucker, but if that's how he's making it through life, maybe that's a liberal in me. I can't take that away from him. Life is fucking hard, and then you die.
Yeah, but Jerry, come on. Peed skills.
Nah, not fast enough, apparently.
You know, it's kind of like Keith Richards, who once threatened to kill me. You know, Keith always said he survived because he only did the good stuff. That's how it is with me. I only do the good speed.
No, malnutrition and disease kills. Americans love fucking drugs. You know, that's the craziest thing. Americans are the ones to put anything into a pill. I mean, look at Ron DeSantis. I can't even be mad at him. He's living his Ozempic life. I mean, the funny thing about Ron DeSantis is if the terrible things weren't coming out of his mouth, you're like, that is an attractive man. Until he opens his mouth. Like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Wait, that little, that roly-poly little bat-faced man, Ron DeSantis, that's not a good-looking man.
He's a thin motherfucker right now. He's lost a lot of weight. a lot. He looks like he's lost about 90 pounds.
Yeah,
he's borderline gaunt.
But he looks like he eats an ear of corn with his top two teeth alone, you know?
He looks like... You ever remember those Pez dispensers where the head tilts backwards?
Yeah.
That is a reptile in a skin suit. He just attaches his jaw when he eats. I'm pretty fucking sure of it. Just by the way he eats.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but he did another outrageous, shitty, anti-democratic thing.
Fired the prosecutor.
Yeah, the state's attorney of the 9th Judicial Circuit, which is Orange and Osceola counties. Monique Worrell, who was elected with 65% of the vote. Yeah, he removed her today because apparently the dictator of Florida. He decided he didn't like how she was handling cases, so he accused her of incompetence and neglect of duty.
You know what? That's my mission right now. I want recall in the Florida Constitution. I do. We can't recall this fucker, okay? The only vote we get at this point is bullets. All right?
Well, he replaced...
That's fucked up, but that's a Florida statement.
He replaced her with a little lick spittle by the name of Andrew Bain. He was an Orange County judge and couldn't quite make the cut to make it onto the Court of Appeals. And meanwhile, Monique Worrell will challenge the suspension. The problem is the last prosecutor that he removed went to court. The judge said, "This is odious and political and obviously illegal, and I'm sorry I can't help you."
Yeah, we're fucked in Florida by definition of our constitution.
Yeah, why does Florida continue to fuck itself? South Florida
That's
an over exaggeration, Jerry. From Orlando south is where the population is. You talk about how liberal South Florida is. You talk about how liberal South Florida is. How come Monkey Up? You know, he only beat Andrew Gillum by less like 0.1 percentage point the first time he became governor. This time through, he breezed into office.
He didn't beat Gillum.
No, he had actual.
He never counted Broward's votes.
He had actual Nazis out there robocalling for him.
No, did you hear what I said?
Yes, I did.
Broward's votes. He didn't win the last one. Our shit is hackable here. That's what that thing that that Trump keeps talking about. He goes, "I got that guy." I think Trump's not lying there. I think he has some of his Russian friends help. That's what the fuck you're talking about. That's why Ron DeSantis won't say shit. Trump knows where all the bodies are buried, and there's a Trump Hotel shovel in his broom closet. That Gillum election was weird. Gillum was up by 8 points. He was crushing it. And then poof. And then, oh no, we're not going to count Broward's votes because they're 30 seconds too late. All right. We're just going to disallow a whole fucking county. The whole county. Yeah, like 1.5 million people? Come on, man. Then he wins by 500 votes or some bullshit. What did he win by, like 20,000 votes or some shit like that?
Oh, it was less than that.
The amount of one of those. Yeah. This whole thing is fucked.
Well, I'll tell you I'm going to.
Illegitimate governor.
I'm going to run because there's a couple of stories I really want to hit before the end of the program, and I can probably wedge it in the next 30 minutes, Jerry. But
you're the hostess with the mostest. This was an excellent show. I'm glad I could help.
You had a three cowbell performance. I mean, you hat can't trick. Ask for any hat trick. Yeah, turkey. So
hat trick, and have a wonderful night. What's your temperature today up there?
It's a bearable 79 degrees here in the Fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, and outside...
79, bearable is not the adverb. Perfect. 79 is perfect.
But outside, it's cloudy and 75.
Yeah, we're 120-degree heat index still.
Yeah, Appalachia has its merits. Of course, you know...
I'm literally watching the grass grow.
Call me in February when I'm sitting under a French fry light clinging to my sanity, okay?
I'm going to be flip-flopping it in February. I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, that's how this goes.
Hanging out with the tourists. Hanging out with the tourists. Go, oh, it's so cold. Oh, I know. Actually, I don't know how cold it is, but you still got frost on your nose there. You like a mojito? Oh, sure. and you know what? A blue Corvette just passed by to kind of put a capper on this call.
Nice.
You know, those new Corvettes, my God.
Oh, I've seen them.
Have you seen them?
Yes. I got passed by a Tweety Bird yellow one today.
That's the best car America's ever made, period.
Oh, I don't know.
If I won the lotto, it has a 32-valve overhead cam engine. They sound like Ferraris. They broke away from the old blocks.
I think that was the goal, you know, sound like, yeah. And, you know, they don't quite...
It's a fifth of the price.
Yeah, what does a new one go for?
Go ahead. You can get a couple-year-old one for about 50, 60.
Hell, write a check. I'm sorry, I'm still a Porsche girl, can't help it.
They have about 600 horsepower, though. Especially with a chip. Yeah, they're ridiculous. Nothing beats a Corvette. Not even leader bikes anymore. Anyways, we had a little car talk. We didn't get to be a food porn, but Porsches, I like the Cayenne. I think about the Cayenne, an old Cayenne when I
I'm a lady of a certain age, so it would make sense for me to be in a Panamera, but in my heart of hearts, no. 911 Carrera Turbo. End of story.
I saw electric Panamera do some shit a couple of days ago. I was like, whoa! It did the butt lay down and it just took off like a starship. I was like, wow!
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But it was electric. There was no, I kept waiting for the noise and there was no noise. I was like, oh, that's... No, if I had a shop with a lift, I would get a Boxster. I think that's the prettiest car ever made.
See, that's the thing. I can't get into a Boxster. There is not enough room.
You have to sit on the back on the hatch and just kind of hang your legs in the passenger compartment.
Yeah, because the Boxster is not made for anybody over 5'10", and they're going to be snugly in there.
5'9", I'd say. Seriously, that's a tiny guy.
But the beautiful thing about the 911, the beautiful thing about the leg room in the cockpit of a 911 is I could actually put the seats far enough back in mine that I couldn't reach the pedals. That's the car.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I get that's why I
kicked out. And the clutch pedal and the brake pedal, the clutch pedal and the brake pedal went into the floorboard competition style. For good, you know, for good heel and toe practice, and nothing like it. Of course, that was a 1987 Carrera Targa.
Do you know how much those are now?
yeah, I do.
They've appreciated.
Porsches do that.
They're about 40 grand now.
Porsches do that.
Weird. They've appreciated, and I saw I lost a race to a Porsche once, a turbo, the old 1974s, 1973 turbos. We were on A26, me and my brother, and we were in a Cutlass with a 350 double barrel garbage transmission. It made nice noises. It was a 1972 Cutlass, I think. And we pulled up to a 911, and it said turbo on the back. And I said to my brother, you can buy a turbo sticker from...
Smart ass.
You can buy a turbo sticker for $5. That's not a turbo, so put it in neutral, rev the engine, He looked at me. He did a thing with his shoulder, and he was gone. I chased him at 120 miles an hour for like 5 minutes. I never saw that back.
Yeah, the thing is, he got in. He got into second about 80.
I don't think. Well, actually, he wasn't in second. He wasn't in second. I think he just. Well, actually, they only had four speeds, didn't they? So it might have been a second gear drop. Yeah, they were only four speeds, weren't they? They weren't five
that
speeds.
Far. That far back, mid 70s. Yeah, they may have been four speeds. Mine was a five, and I seldom had. You know, the only time I ever got into fifth was when I was on the open road and I wanted to save a little gas because it was just an overdrive.
220. The target was 227, right? Horsepower. I remember. I'm not right.
No, mine was north of 300.
It was a turbo or non-turbo?
No, it was. Conventionally aspirated.
300 on the flat? I thought they were like 200.
It was bored out.
Oh, you did some stuff. Okay.
It was bored out and lowered.
Do they scratch cars like that in West Virginia?
What do you mean?
Well, a Tesla, for instance. Beautiful car.
Couldn't give me one.
Until Elon says something stupid once a day, I dream about that car. Like, oh, yeah, Elon Musk. But a Tesla could destroy all these conversations. A Tesla would just, you know, hands off the wheel. That's not even the point. The point is, I had a point here and I lost it. Well, go do the rest of the show. Right? My train of thought just went off the tracks. I will leave you with one thing I said about the Trump train online. I said the Trump train is pulling into Chutkin Station last stop.
Oh, that's quality. You get a fourth cowbell for that.
Yay. I love you, Robin. I love you, Horn. Call in. Donate money. Please. We all need the space to do what we do. And now that I have the profile, I'm going to do a little bit more spamming on the Reddit there.
Sounds lovely. Jerry, take care.
And political conversations. Take care.
Bye. Scary Jerry. Cogent and entirely entertaining this evening. Thanks, Jerry. So, like I said, there are a couple of stories I want to get to before the program comes to a close. Kevin writing in. MAGA threatening civil war. Are we nearing a 1933 moment, Chancellor Trump? I'm confident in our voting power as long as it still counts. I'm not confident on our law enforcement and other authorities to put it in extreme if put to an extreme test. I think they're going to do it again. I don't know if they're going to do it in Atlanta or if maybe they'll. I would not be surprised if there was some attempt to disrupt the trial when the trial date comes around in D.C. Jerry may be right about South Florida and people are like, oh, it's hot. I don't want to protest. So that's hard to, that's hard to say. But New York, D.C., Atlanta, I kind of expect something. And let's see here. We've got 180. Yeah, we got 180 bucks to go to finish last Thursday. And could we do that in 21 minutes? I don't know. But it would be great if we could make the attempt. Thank you, Ralphs. I just got Ralphs's challenge because it was, in fact, met her Robbie Robertson challenge. Thank you, Ralphs. Like I said, there's a couple of stories here. It's prayer meeting Wednesday. I'm not going to. There's so much fun prayer meeting Wednesday stuff. But we began the program, except for the guy who got the maggot who got, I don't know, apparently decided to take a pot shot or wave a gun at the FBI. Randy Radar reminds me, Hawaiian Island is on fire. Maui, 6 people are dead, but there's no such thing as climate change. And the best explanation for the fires in Maui and the video of it is absolutely horrifying. Like I said, 6 people are dead. And the cause is being said to be a hurricane that is churning off the Hawaiian islands about 800 miles away. I think we've gotten to that point. You know, the point where the bad shit's going to happen. You know, the scientists told us it would, but, well, then again, former Oklahoma Senator Jim Piskwick Inhofe, hi, Bart Kopp, wherever you are, he brought a snowball into the well of the Senate in February and said that proved there was no climate change. But anyway, after we got done with the numbnut in Utah, we talked about Ohio and the fact that voters there apparently don't much like Republicans, or at least their ideas about women's bodies. Apparently today was a bad day to be the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells. Now, Stevie Three Shirts is a hardcore pre-Vatican II Roman Catholic. And so in Bannon world, women are subhuman creatures with no rights. Well, what did the minority say in Dobbs? From the moment of fertilization, women have no rights to speak of. Yeah. Stevie Three Shirts is down with that. So today, he had Frank Pavone. And Frank Pavone is a laicized Catholic priest. Apparently, Frank Pavone wanted to go out and fuck and make babies, so he gave up his collar. And Bannon got all up in Frank Pavone's grill. And I hope you find this as enjoyable as I do. These are great, big, delicious maggot tears.
But you've had Kansas, Michigan, and now Ohio,
yeah,
right? Excuse me, Kansas, Wisconsin, and Ohio. The Michigan, I don't know that well. You've had three in a row where that case hasn't been made or is not resonating. And these are not close. These are in modern American politics, these are blowouts. These are blowouts. Right. And the eighth, and look, I wanted to play the morning Joe because I want to rub people's nose in this. Mm-hmm. They're spiking the football. We could play all 2 hours of the show from last night on MSNBC to today, and they're spiking the football because they think they've got the formula for 2024. And, you know, it's fine for you to make that argument. You've had three shots. These are not left-wing places. Kansas and Ohio, brother, I mean, you're not going to get more MAGA. And I realize Kansas got its own, the way it was worded, and it's all this, you know, and it's a little different on Kansas on some issues. I got that. But Ohio is the bastion of MAGA, right? And so how do you guys, I mean, this is a warning shot. I don't know what it takes when you say ego and organize and everything like that. You guys have hung together for 50 years. You finally got the Supreme, you know, you finally with Trump's victory. And in 16, life wasn't a massive, it wasn't a front thing issue. It was part of our coalition, don't get me wrong, and absolutely essential. And Susan B. Anthony, everybody knocked on doors and rang doorbells, all credit to them. But that wasn't just a central beating heart issue, but you got the judges and you got the victory. And now, quite frankly, it's you guys, I'm telling you that if it doesn't get organized, and I mean organized quickly, there's a lot of voices in the donor community and others saying, hey, you know, what are we doing here? Because these guys are they're a drag right now when we can't afford it. And I had to hate to be so blunt. Caroline, let me.
Y'all suck. They're spiking the ball. He did everything but drop F-bombs. How do y'all keep fucking up so bad with the people who are supposed to love us? You're 0 for 3. I don't know so much about Michigan. Michigan handed you your ass. You're 0 for 4, dipshit. And the neat thing is, he's already conceding, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, he's already conceding the November constitutional referendum. Because he knows that they couldn't win unless they enshrined minority rule in the state of Ohio. Oh, God, Stevie, I hope it doesn't hurt too little, hon. Maybe pray over it some more, you nasty little vulgar fascist. And good news out of Oregon. You know, yesterday we talked about that great day of freedom in which Oregonians can now pump their own gasoline. Well, today, yesterday actually, but via a report in the Oregonian, the Secretary of State there, LaVon Griffin Ballad, has made an official finding, a determination. Based upon a law passed by referendum of Oregon voters, known as Measure 113, Measure 113 said that if legislators don't show up for work, they don't get to be on the next election ballot. If a legislator has 10 or more unexcused absences, they are barred from running for re-election in 2024. And so the Attorney General, Ms. Griffin-Vallad, she said it is her formal Attorney General opinion, which carries the weight of law, that the maggots who didn't show up to work in order to try to keep women from being able to control the workings of their own reproductive systems and make sure that dysphoric trans adolescents can't get access to gender-affirming, life-saving care, well, they knew they were going to lose on both, so they decided just not to come to work. And now, it appears, they will not be on the ballot. So the maggot said, well, we'll sue. And they say that they're going to hire some pettifogger who says that the language of the statute is vague. Attorney General Griffin Fallad said, that's bullshit. And so the Senate Minority Leader, Tim Knopp, won't be able to run for re-election because of Measure 113. The same, another senator named Boquist tried to get around it by changing his party affiliation to independent in 2021. No, they don't get to run again, and both Boquist and Knopp and four others are due to stand for re-election next year and ain't gonna get to. You know, sometimes, boys, you just have to stand in there and take your damn licks. God knows we have. But it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, so a couple of Prayer Meeting Wednesday pieces. The deacons had the night off, and I guess this is what happens when they're not passing the plate. But NPR interviewed an evangelical preacher by the name of Russell Moore. Russell Moore has said in the past that he is dismayed at the degree to which evangelical preachers and members of the faith are willing to throw Jebus under the bus in favor of their true God, Donald John Jesus H. Christ Trump. In the interview with NPR, Moore said that he has heard stories from multiple pastors who have had a similar experience. Namely, when those preachers preach the Sermon on the Mount, in which, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the poor. You know that. Well, the maggots in the congregations get butthurt. In the interview, Pastor Moore says multiple pastors tell me essentially the same story about quoting the Sermon on the Mount, parenthetically, in their preaching. Turn the other cheek, and they'll have somebody come up to them and say afterward, "Where'd you get those liberal talking points?" And what was alarming to me is that in most of these scenarios, when the pastor would say, "Well, I'm literally quoting Jesus Christ," the maggot would fire back, "Yeah, but that don't work no more. That's weak." Jesus is a sissy to the maggots. And Russell Moore said, "When we get to the point where the teachings of Jesus himself are seen as subversive to us, then we're in a crisis." No, you've just... you've just become... It's become obvious that you are the Pharisees and Sadducees that you always have been. Moore went on and said, "The roots of the political problem really come down to disconnection, loneliness, sense of alienation. Even in churches that are still healthy and functioning, regular church going is not what it was a generation ago, in which the entire structure of the week was defined by the community." Well, Russell Moore, maybe some people figured out that you were selling a line of bullshit. And that once you departed from the words of Yeshua, the Palestinian, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi, then you weren't doing Jesus' work. Because Paul was just a misogynist. And that guy in Revelations was hallucinating his balls off. And because we're talking about Christianity, let's go to North Carolina real quick for one more. Meet Amanda Buchanan Justice. She's 35 years old, and she's a hairdresser. She owns a hair salon. And she really, really was devoted to her membership in the New Life Family Worship Center. Because, you know, calling them churches is out. Because, well, again, like Russell Moore said, nobody wants to go to church anymore. But this is a worship center. Well, she wrote over on Facebook of the New Life Family Worship Center, "They always took the time to teach us things that would help us grow spiritually as well as in life." Now, she put this on the Facebook page of the Worship Center. "All of the leadership skills I have were all taught to me when I decided to step up and be a part of ministry. The reason I care so much for people is that I had an amazing group of pastors who have the heart of God and want to see other people grow and love others." Well, last Thursday, turned out her love of others was a little bit improper, because the local constabulary showed up there in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, and handed her charges and arrested her and roughed her and cuffed her for two felony counts of statutory sex offense with a child over the age of 15. She was just sharing God's love. Because she had the heart of God. Yes. And then immediately, the New Life Family Worship Center put up a post saying, well, New Life partners, we were made aware of the situation that has occurred concerning Amanda Justice. She's no longer attending New Life Family Worship Center. There's an ongoing investigation in regards to allegations of misconduct with a minor. I don't know if you call a felony misconduct. She was fucking the kids. This is from the Risk Management Department of New Life Family Worship Center. That did not occur on church grounds or any ministry activities. Please continue to pray for this situation and for our church during these difficult times. Once again, nothing in there about praying for the children she fucked in the name of Jesus. Because they're Christians. Yes. Praise, glory. Oh, goodness, I don't think I've got time for one more. I had a great prayer meeting Wednesday planned. Dang it. Maybe we'll have some carryover into Thorn in the Side Thursday because a couple of these are pretty damn thorny. So, thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, in the chat room. Didn't go back over there. Steve popped in. Thank you, Steve. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please like and subscribe on whatever platform where you take the podcast. Leave a comment for the algorithms. Tell your friends and neighbors. Let's build this community. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know. The folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster if you're eligible. Wear your mask when you're around maggots because they don't give a damn about anybody but themselves, and they don't think much of themselves either. They're willing to die for a dumbass. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry something with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance to the best of your ability. And, well, if someone comes babbling down the sidewalk toward you and happens to smell like rancid hot dog water smells and is yakking about, we got our ass handed to us again, we're in trouble. We may get our ass handed to us in 2024. Well, avoid Stevie Three Shirts like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.